Thank you to Wyatt for leading us in song this morning. And how grateful and thankful we are this morning that we can gather here together and honor God and thank Him for all the great blessings that He's given unto us. This coming Thursday, you and I will celebrate what we call Independence Day, the 4th of July. What a wonderful and monumental occasion it will be. I hope that it will be more than just a picnic and more than just a family gathering, but that it really will be a time when we celebrate and thank God for the freedom that we have in this wonderful country that we call America. You and I are a blessed people indeed. You see, Thomas Jefferson said many years ago, "We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And you and I have been gifted by Almighty God with those great blessings. But when we look at America today, no doubt, it is not the America that we have once known. It is not the America that we want her to be. And so I ask you the question today, can America be renewed? Is it really possible? When we look at our land and we see all the problems that are going on in America today, then obviously we back away and we say, what happened along the way? You know, there are times when we all need revival in our spiritual lives. There are times when we need revival in our country as well. Patrick Henry once said, and certainly he was the great orator who made the statement that, "Give me liberty or give me death." But he also made another monumental statement. He said it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. For this very reason, the people of other faiths and other nations have been afforded asylum and prosperity and freedom of worship here in America. We need to always remember that America is not based upon anything less than the God-given principles that we find in the eternal word of Almighty God. America, can she really be renewed? You know, are we willing to face the truth and accept it that America is departing from God? America has departed from God, but can she be renewed? And if she has departed from God, are we willing to see that truth? How do you see America today? How do you see her? You know, when you look through the glasses of our country, we see it in different lights. We do. Sometimes people think America's okay, there are no problems. But how do you see America? When we see what is happening in our land, in America today, it makes us want to shed tears. It does. Because most of us can remember the America of years ago, where people feared God, where people honored the Lord, where people served one another, where people were patriotic, and people were proud to really be Americans and honor God with that wonderful freedom that He has given. But in our land today, we see a dramatic increase in crime. Horrible. You know, I can remember when we left our doors open at home. We didn't worry about locking the door before we left home, but the door was always open, but not today. You didn't lock your car. You didn't worry about it. But there is a dramatic increase in crime and in violence, a dramatic increase in moral decay, as we have seen this last week. In political scandals that are going on in Washington and other places around the world as well. And even religious hypocrisy that we see so often in our land. In the book of Romans 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, "For there is no fear of God before their eyes." No fear of God. People don't fear God anymore. In Psalms 36 and verse 1, the Bible says, For the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before their eyes. Well, let me share with you some things this morning that I think that are extremely important. Can America be renewed? Why doesn't America fear God anymore? There was a time when people feared God in the sense that they held Him in reverential awe, and they feared the Lord in the sense that they didn't want to go against the will of God. But why is it that America does no longer fear God? I can tell you why. Because our leaders do not fear God. Our nation will never ever rise above her leadership. Character doesn't matter with most folks anymore. And we expect low morals from our leaders because that is what we have seen. Scandals have become the norm. Just turn on the evening news. It's one scandal after another in our country. It's not the America that we once knew. And we worship things instead of the one who made them. For Romans 1, verse 28 and 29 speaks of such. A lot of people say, well, the polls say this, or the polls say that. And many people live by the opinion polls of others. Let me remind you, Jesus said that the way to hell is the broad way. There are more opinion people who are going into hell every day. The trouble with polling, however, is that nobody asks God. You know, the decisions that were made in the Supreme Court this last week, God didn't even enter into the picture. It wasn't, how does God feel about this? Or what about that basic Bible that our nation rests upon today, as well as the Constitution of the United States? I wonder if our Supreme Court even opened the pages of God's Word, or if our president does. I don't know. It's beyond me how anyone can make decisions that they make based upon biblical truth if they have opened the pages. I don't know. You see, the commandments of Christ are not multiple choice. You don't pick and choose what you want to believe or what you accept. But truth is based upon fact, not upon opinion. Why doesn't America fear God? Because Christians don't fear God anymore. Solomon in the Old Testament said to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why doesn't America fear God? Because we follow the world and not the Word. More people are following the opinions of men instead of the doctrine of Christ, Matthew 15. We worship tolerance instead of truth. I hear people say all the time, we just need to be more tolerant. We need to tolerate sin. God calls it an abomination. We take no stand. And when you take no stand, you make no difference. A man who will stand for nothing falls for everything. Why doesn't America fear God? Because many preachers don't fear God anymore. I still do. And I say that proudly, folks. And I say it unashamedly. But there are many preachers in today's world who are preaching to please the ears of those who hear them. They preach popular ideas. They preach positivism. Now, I want to be positive for the right things. But I want to be negative against those things that God calls us in. They preach psychology rather than biblical truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's more, I'll preach it the way you want me to preach it. I'll say it however you want me to say it. Let me ask you a question. Can we ask God to really bless America when we refuse to do His will? Secondly, there are many things that are taken for granted. Can America be renewed? I hope so. But there are many things in our country today that we take for granted. Salvation is one of them. We take for granted our salvation. We take for granted our freedom, the salvation, nationally speaking. Salvation is of the Lord, according to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus my Lord. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Did you know that the Bible is taken for granted? I read the other day where it is still the number one seller. That one book sells more than any book in the United States of America. But few read it. People have it on the coffee table. They may carry one in the car. They have it in their library. But few read the Bible anymore. And it is often taken for granted. The Word of God says, let us cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. The church is often taken for granted. My, haven't we made changes in the church of the living God? Today, in most places, it does not resemble that blood-bought institution that we read about in the Holy Scriptures. But far from it. For some reason or another, we believe that we have the right to ameliorate and change and augment from the pages of God's eternal Word concerning the church of Jesus Christ. And she's often taken for granted. The Bible says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Ephesians 5, verse 21. Ronald Reagan once made the statement. He said, if we lose our freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And it is true. I thank God today because in our audience we have several, no doubt, who have served this great country and who continue to serve it. I thank God for our armed forces and those who have answered the call to defend the great freedom that we have here in America. Thank God for those who serve and those who honor this great land. Americans are slaves to sin. They are. Do you know that many people today really sell out to sin? They are slaves to sin. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. That's what Peter said to Simon. Repent of thy sin, for you are in the bond of iniquity. But do you know that there are many today in America who are being held bondage by their sin? And that is the greater captivity. We have grown cold in America, and the fire has gone out. You remember how you could walk down the street and you see the American flag and you just almost have that inclination to salute it? Or you're standing on the sidewalk and a parade walks by with military men, you wanted to salute them and say thank you for your service. We've lost our spirit of patriotism in America. We have. We have grown cold. But why have we grown cold? We've grown cold in the family. The family's not what it used to be. We've grown cold at work. People don't give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay anymore. We've grown cold in the military. In politics, think about all the corruption that we see. We've grown cold sometimes even at the church. We've lost our spirit sometimes. In Matthew 24 and verse 12, Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. the love of many shall grow cold. In America, we see people who are constantly bashing this country. I've said all those people who think we're such a bad place to be, why don't they leave and go somewhere else? Amen. We have domestic lawsuits, one right after another in America. Moral demise, spousal abuse, child abuse, division, parental neglect, and all of these problems that are going on in America, can she be renewed? The American eagle that has become the symbol of our great country surely sheds tears today. We've grown cold in our preaching. We have. A lot of people don't like to hear sermons that convict and convert. We want to walk away saying, boy, he made me feel good today. Not that he helped me improve my life, but that he made me feel good. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's what the Holy Scripture says. We've grown cold in religion. We have. Religion means a lot of things to a lot of people. But the Bible defines pure religion in James 1 and verse 27. And it is to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We've grown cold to Christ. And Jesus will say someday in Matthew 7:23, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We have grown cold in our concepts of what is moral and what is right. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul alluded to the latter days when they would be unnatural in their affection one to another. Read about it in the book of Romans 1. They may be celebrating in San Francisco today, but the dance will be different when they stand before the mighty God of heaven. I'm happy to tell you today that there are 37 states in the United States of America where gay marriage is illegal. And I'm more happy to tell you today that in Texas, there is no gay marriage. Now, President Obama thinks it's all right. He thinks it's okay. I heard him yesterday on television say that that's a wonderful thing. And the Supreme Court this week ruled on Proposition 8 out in California and the Defense of Marriage Act. But because the Supreme Court says it's right and President Obama says it's right, does saying it's right make it right?
No.
No. It doesn't. Abraham Lincoln once said, it is the duty of nations, as well as of men, to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God to recognize the sublime truths announced in Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations only are blessed by God, whose God is the Lord. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell fire and all the nations that forget God. But Solomon said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We have grown cold in morality when it comes to abortion. Again, many in Washington say it's okay. God says it's sin. 1 million children are aborted each year. Think about it, folks. 1 million babies. 54% of the abortions statistically are for unwanted pregnancy. Woman gets pregnant, decides it was a slip-up. She doesn't want it. And I'm telling you that the baby inside her womb is a baby. It is not a large piece of protoplasm like a lot of folks think. Twenty percent of the abortions performed are on teenagers. Always amazed me that our law permits a teenager to go out and have an abortion, but you can't give them an aspirin in school. Is that a little screwy to you? Yeah. 70% of those who have abortions are unmarried. Let me ask you something. Are we reaping what we have sown? We talk about the Statue of Liberty. I'm sure if she could speak, what would she say? Would our forefathers be alarmed as we are at what our country has become? We have abandoned our God in heaven. And we have turned our back upon His sovereignty. May God help us to repent before it's too late. Can America be renewed? Now the question today is, what can we do to restore the America that we once knew? The Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14. And verse 34. Well, let me tell you what we can do. We can do what is right. Don't do wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. Do what is right. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14 that Jesus gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Do what is right. Always do what is right at any cost. And then rejoice in truth and uphold the truth. Let your banner be the banner of truth. Not lies and hypocrisy that we see in our land today by many of those that have been elected to public office. For Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9 says, Thou hast loved righteousness, and you have hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. What can we do to renew America? Perhaps it would be best for us to follow the solution that God has given. In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, when He said, If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. Notice this. I will heal their land. But we must be involved. We can no longer sit idly by and allow our country to continue to depart from God. No more. Enough is enough. The Lord has given us freedom, but if we fail to hold on to it and to preserve it, we have no one to blame but ourselves. America, can she be renewed? She can be saved. She can be salvaged. And I'm convinced of that. She can be saved. Lincoln quoted Job 28:28 when he said, The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. A few years ago, we had the opportunity to go to Washington and stood at the foot of that Lincoln Monument. You know, I think about all those great men who have served this country in times past. Those who were truly patriotic. Those who had that spirit of America. That didn't question God. that didn't debate what is right and what is wrong. It was absolute. It didn't lie in a gray area. But they just accepted truth. And not only did they accept it, but they upheld it and they defied anyone to speak against it. May God help us to pray and bring about real change in America. When I see all these symbols of our freedom, I'm so thankful that God gave us this land. But the future rests upon what we will do with it. United, we can stand. United, we will stand. And it is only until we are united that we will. America, can she be renewed? You see, renewal begins with you and it begins with me. We must become Christians. We talk about our land being a Christian nation. Are we? How Christian are we? If we want to preserve this Christian nation, then we need Christians. And a better nation begins with better homes. And better homes begin with better mothers and better fathers. And better mothers and better fathers begin with the better individual. And you know what? God needs you. God needs you. America needs you. This country needs you. And will you become a Christian and help to preserve this Christian nation? Our future as a nation is dependent upon us. We must humble ourselves as a little child right now and believe in Christ to be the Son of God, Mark 16 and verse 16. And through that acknowledgement of your faith by confessing Christ to be Savior and Lord, and He taught us to do that, a simple confession of Him to be the Son of God, is it asking too much? Matthew 10 and verse 32, and to repent of your sin. I think God is calling us to a national penitent attitude in this country. And for those of us who have never repented of our sins individually, we must if we go to heaven. And we must be baptized according to Acts 2 and verse 38. For the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And be faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. You see, God is depending upon you. And America is counting on you. And I hope that we will never, ever let either of them down. But the future of our country rests with us. It does. And I hope that we're willing to be challenged this morning to do something about it. We can sit and talk. We can preach. But until we resolve in our heart to do something about it, it will never change. May God help us as a nation and as a church to reflect the values, the God-given values that we find in His Word this morning. And if you're subject to the call of Christ this morning to become His child, may you do that while we stand and while we sing.